I said earlier on, are you ready to be a baptizer? Don't be like this guy. Don't do drive-by baptisms, driving along, seeing a puddle. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Shh. It's got to be relational. It needs to involve water, but it's got to be relational. Because God is a relational God. And that's the kind of theme that we're going to be taking a little bit this morning as we have a think about friends. Matthew Perry passed into glory, we believe, from what he said. He was a follower of Jesus. He met God. And a few weeks ago, this guy just at the end, he died. We don't know how, but he's in glory with Jesus forever. And this isn't a sermon honoring him or anything like that. It's just taking the principle of friends. Because it's really important in life to have friends, isn't it? One or two of you think that it's really important to have friends. And I want us to just think about friendship this morning. And you know Well, I don't know whether you know. With episodes of Friends, there was that kind of a title for each episode. And it started with the one... I'm just seeing who are the Friends fans here. The one where Phoebe got married, or the one where Ross fell in love with Rachel, and that was a repeat because it went through lots of series. Today, it's the one where we learn what it's like to be friends with God. But before we think about that, I want you to think and maybe talk, or just put some things up. We used Padlet last week. Scanning this QR code will take you to a website called Padlet. And you're able to answer two questions. The two questions are, what things make good friends? What do good friends do? What characteristics help a friend be a good friend? Share your comments, you can share them anonymously, and I'll just read some of them out, and you can see what other people are saying. You can even like it, just like on Facebook. And then things that help friendships grow. So things that good friends are or do, and things that help friendships grow. Do take some time, put it in your thoughts, and we'll have a think about it. You can talk to the people around you. This isn't just a... solo activity. Hey, you might even make a good friend today. If you're sat next to someone you don't know, talk to them about friendship and they may become a friend for life. Go for it. So, some of the things that people are saying, you can read them for yourself if you are on that thing. I'm not going to read all 47, 48 comments and things, but a good friend encourages, affirms, calls you to more. A good friend cares for one another, is loyal, is always there, doesn't judge, is kind, shares same values, is trustworthy, listens and cares, spends time with you. They protect your name when you're not there. Available for a chat at any time. They're trustworthy, they reach out, they sit in the valley with you, include you, pray with you and for you, they point you to Jesus, they support one another through thick and thin. The list goes on. People in this church, in this room and joining online understand what it is to be a good friend. Or they know what the quality is, even if they may not be experiencing it at the moment. We look down this list and the other list, the things that help friendships grow, is spending time together, honesty, affirming good qualities, investing time together, mutual care with honesty, being there for one another, etc., etc. We look down these lists and we think, wow, this is a high standard and I want to grow as a better friend. And I know in this room there are friends of mine that, as I look through this, I'm thinking, I haven't been that, but I want to grow in that. What do we get excited about here? Jesus. So if this talk was just about friends, and we had this up, and we had those things, we would stop it with, well, now choose one of those things, one of those qualities, and try to be better at that. Try and be a good friend, and then maybe you'll grow a good friend as well. And that will be good advice. So if you take nothing else from what I'm saying, do that. But you're going to be trying really, really hard, and it's going to be difficult to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Jesus calls us friends. There's a passage in John's biography of Jesus, his account of Jesus' life, ministry, and teaching, and death, and resurrection. And just to say, this is John, the friend of Jesus, not the cousin of Jesus. This is John, the disciple, not the baptizer, not John the Baptist. And Jesus is speaking to his friends, his disciples, a few hours before he goes to a garden to pray, and then he's arrested, is put on trial, a corrupt trial, and is sentenced to death. And during this conversation, over a meal, Jesus has showed them his love by serving them and washed their feet. And then he says, look, I want you to stay with me. I want you to remain with me. I want you to stick with me even after I've gone. And they must have been like scratching their heads thinking, what does that mean? Even if Jesus isn't physically present, he goes on to say in the next chapter in John's gospel, even when Jesus isn't physically present, he sends his Holy Spirit so that we can be with him, we can stay with him, we can remain with him and close with him. I want to read from John chapter 15, verses 15 to 17. And do look up that passage in your own Bibles, on your phone, your iPad. If you want to have a paper Bible, there's some at the back. Just pop up your hand and someone in a blue top will bring one to you. If you don't have a Bible at home, take the one that they give you. If you want to make a contribution to it, I'll say please don't. If you really, really want to, I'll say please do. But get a Bible in your hands, because when it's in your hands, it'll go to your head. It goes to your head, hopefully it'll go to your heart. And this is what God's Word says. John chapter 15, verse 15 onwards. And this is the second part of the passage that I was sharing with Myla that I sense God's lay on my heart for her today. But it's for us also. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Jesus' instructions are good for society. His last command there, love each other. Society would be so, so different if we loved each other even 1% more. So even if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, and you think, oh, did he really exist, did he not, and things like that, his teaching is phenomenally helpful for society. But I want to invite you to explore the reality of his existence, and not just his teaching, his instruction, but his invite to become his friends. And he says that to his disciples, it isn't just about serving him. It isn't just about being like a slave. I call you friends. And there are two reasons. In between the phrase, I've called you friends, he has a reason before and a reason after. One of them is that God knows and shares with his friends what's on his heart. You know that phrase, God knows? Yeah? I was having lunch with a priest once, and I asked him a question. He said, oh, God knows. And I said, indeed he does. And so often we think, oh, God is high and mighty and almighty, but he will not tell us what's on his heart. And we look at the Bible and we see that the Bible says that God Almighty, God of highest heaven, creator God, mighty God, knows and shares what's on his heart. And God's friends, as we become friends with God, God starts sharing what's on his heart with his friend. Jesus says, I don't call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. I call you friends because I'm sharing with you what's on the Father's heart. Now, Jesus says, I call you friends because you know what's on the Father's heart. You know the master's business. But I want to just take a step back from that, and slow down a little bit. I've said very quickly that Jesus calls us friends. And I want us to just pause and slow down a little bit and get our heads around that a little bit more. In the book of Colossians, a letter that a friend of God's writes to a church says this about Jesus. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And as I read through this description of Jesus, in the back of your mind, keep thinking, we can be friends with God. We can be friends with this Jesus. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see. He made the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Jesus is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself, making peace with everything in heaven and on earth through Jesus' blood on the cross. Once you were far away from God, you were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. But now you've been reconciled back to him, brought back to him through Jesus. A former pastor of this church wrote this. Jesus has made the invisible visible, the intangible tangible, the eternal historical, and he has done that in comprehensive perfection. This has not diminished him, lowered him, or reduced him. The reverse is true. He is over the created world and forever before the created world. The created world is the result of his creativity. He made stars before stools, plants before plows, and trees before tables. He is responsible not only for the things we can see, hear, smell, touch, and taste, but he powerfully controls those unseen powers that affect our lives here on earth, so practically and radically. He is the one who shapes the geography of the nations and controls the history of their people. Absolutely nothing is beyond him, over him, or outside his grasp and authority. However far you can see, however high you can reach, however deep you can fathom, all came into being by him, is held together in him, and was made before him. Never, never place Jesus alongside other spiritual beings. He's in a category of his own, unique, special, and distinctive. Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And we get to call him friend because he calls us his friends. Jesus made it possible for us to be friends with God And all of the things that we've described on this Padlet that a good friend does, encourages, affirms, calls us to more, calls us higher, sharing values, is kind, doesn't judge. He will return to judge, but currently he doesn't judge. Jesus listens. He cares. He supports. He reaches out. He sits in the valley with us. He includes us. He prays for us. Go through this list, either now or later on, and realize that all of these attributes of a good friend, Jesus does completely and some more. And he invites us to a friendship. As a friend, God is faithful. As a friend, he is truthful. He speaks the truth into our lives. As a friend, he's powerful to bring help and rescue, support and comfort. As a friend, he is always with us. As a friend, he will always tell us the truth, not just what you want to hear. You know, sometimes when you ask a friend for their opinion on something, you're asking a friend because you trust them to tell you the truth. Maybe you have been asked by someone, does this look okay? And you want them to tell you the truth. And you trust that what they say will be true. With God, we can trust that he will tell us the truth. God, as a friend, knows you better than you know yourself. God, as a friend, wants to listen to you, even when he already knows what you're going through and what you're going to say. God, as a friend, will give everything he has for you, laying down his life for his friends, which is in verse 13 of John chapter 15. And then we move on to this verse in verse 16, where it says that Jesus is saying to his friends, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." And it's not like the disciples went up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, will you be my friend?" Jesus chooses people to be his friends. And this morning, I would just want to encourage you to understand that he invites you. He chooses you to be his friend. Looking around the room, and I'm going to look down so I don't make eye contact at this moment, I know there are people who have wandered from friendship with Jesus. He has chosen you to be his friend and is calling you back this morning. It's not just to be a friend of his, but appointed to that status of friendship and appointed to bear fruit, to actually make a lasting difference in this world. You know how friends call us to more? Jesus, as a friend, says, "Don't just exist. Go on an adventure with me and bring life in all its fullness to other places." Jesus, as a friend, doesn't want us to just exist in a church or in our mundane Buckinghamshire or wherever you're from kind of lives. He wants us to become alive in his presence. And because we become alive in our friendship with him, it spills over into contagious hope into a hurting humanity. There's a wonderful quote I've used before from the book Scattered Servants by Alan Scott. "The dream of God over your life is that not that you become a believer and help out in the local church. The dream of God over your life is that you come alive in his presence and bring life to every environment, spilling contagious hope into hurting humanity." Jesus calls us to more, not just in the church, not just in our own lives, but actually to bring fruit that will last. The passage continues in verse 16, and it says, "Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Who has ever been asked by a child for chocolate for breakfast? Guy has, yeah. Guy, did any of your children say, "In Jesus' name, can I have chocolate?" No. Sometimes we might take a verse like this and say, oh, Jesus is, in Jesus' name, God, Father, please give me X or Y. Because God is a good father, what's he going to do? Sorry? He knows what is best for us. So when we see a verse like this, yes, God will answer that prayer, but maybe not with a yes. Because he knows what is best, because he's a good father. So when we ask anything in Jesus' name, we're aligning ourselves with what is best for God's purposes. But I want us to just, again, take a step back and see the invite in this verse. Jesus is inviting us to pray. Not just in a transactional way, but in a relational way. There's a guy here called Mal. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you about this earlier on. Mal, I met in 1999 on a Christian Union weekend away. We met on the Friday night. We were put in the same room. I'm sorry. We stayed up until stupid o'clock in the morning. We hadn't met each other before, but we stayed up that night sharing lives and sharing hearts. It wasn't a transactional conversation. I wasn't kind of asking him questions so that I would gain anything apart from a relationship. In November 1999, a foundation was built for a friendship. I'm rubbish at keeping in touch. So when I ring Mal, we can pick up that friendship wherever we left it off. Do you have a friendship like that? And with God, he encourages us. He desires us. He invites us to spend time with him, just sharing our hearts. And as we spend time with him in a relational conversation with him, it builds a foundation. It builds a pattern, a habit that will bear fruit, not just in our life, but in lives of others as well. God is calling us to pray to the Father, knowing that we are his friend. It's a relationship with him. Just want to end with an invite. And if Kirsty and the band could start coming up. This was the one where Chandler and Monica got married. And Monica says, I turned to a friend for comfort, and instead I found everything that I had been looking for my whole life. Beautiful phrase to describe the love and the friendship that Monica found in Chandler, and they got married. I wonder what you are looking for in your life. Maybe you are a follower of Jesus, but you're still looking for X or Y. You're still looking for purpose. You've wandered off after different things, trying to find it. But actually, Jesus is saying this morning, come back and find it in him, as friend with him. The thing that you've been looking for your whole life. Maybe you aren't yet a follower of Jesus, and you've come today just as a friend or family of ours. I just want to invite you to explore who Jesus is. I'm not going to pray a prayer from this platform for you to come and become a friend of Jesus this morning. I just want to invite you to come and meet him, to come and explore him. There were two brothers, Andrew and Philip, earlier on in John's account of Jesus' life. They met Jesus, and immediately they went. So they weren't brothers of each other, they were brothers of other people. Immediately they went to Simon and Nathanael and said, come and see. And the invite is, come and see Jesus as a friend. Come and explore what he's like. If you want a tool to help you do that, grab one of these flyers. There are some QR codes just on the side over there. And they'll help you discover friendship with Jesus. If you are someone who is already a friend of Jesus's, but want to help others become friends of Jesus, this will help you. But also the Holy Spirit will help you do that. And I'm just going to pray, and then Kirsty and the band will lead us in some sung worship in response. Father, we thank you that we can know you, and not just know you, but actually have friendship and relationship with you. Help us to spend time with you. Call us as a church, the people of Gold Hill, call us as a church to deeper relational time with you. And may that be a foundation that you build on to bring more and more of whatever you want into this place and from this place. God, I pray for the people of this church. Bring us into closer friendship with you. Immerse our lives in you. I pray for followers of Jesus that have just come today from other places. And Jesus, I pray a similar prayer for them, that you will help them grow in friendship with you, time with you, confidence in talking and praying with you. May they bear fruit that will last. And Jesus, for anyone in this room or joining online who doesn't yet know you as friend, give them the boldness and the courage, the curiosity to explore you as a friend. Amen.